Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this wild, wild Wednesday episode. Yes, it's going to be wild. No, wait, it's already wild. I think we're wandering in the wilderness. Well, we'll be talking about that in just a moment after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is prompted to pray. A coworker once told me that her prayer life had improved because of our manager. I was impressed, thinking that our difficult leader had shared some spiritual nuggets with her and influenced how she prays. I was wrong, sort of. My coworker and friend went on to explain, "Every time I see him coming, I start praying." Her time of prayer had improved because she had prayed more before each conversation with him. She knew she needed God's help in her challenging work relationship with her manager, and she called out to him more because of it. My coworker's practice of praying during tough times and interactions is something I've adopted. It's also a biblical practice found in 1 Thessalonians when Paul reminds the believers in Jesus to pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what we face, prayer is always the best practice. It keeps us connected with God and invites His Spirit to direct us, rather than us having to rely on our human inclinations. This helps us live in peace with each other, even when we face conflicts. As God helps us, we can rejoice in Him, pray about everything, and give thanks often. And those things will help us live in even greater harmony with our brothers and sisters in Jesus. Heavenly Father, please help us remember to pray continually as we seek to live in harmony with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, living in harmony with others. I think that the world that we're in is so wild, just like the Wild Wednesday episode we're going to have, is not making harmony with others. It's the news, the government, the taxes, the crazy policies are making it less harmonious. It almost feels like a rough ride on a Boeing Dreamliner. Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Probably not. I think the wheel just fell off that conversation.
I think it did. Okay, but the wheels are falling off of other things too. And so things are not in harmony. This rig's shaking as it's going down the road. And this rig is our government. And a lot of our lives around us are tied to government because government charges us money for things. Just recently, we heard a presentation by a representative from the park board. And it was a great presentation. I think the fellow did a good job from the Spokane Parks Department on presenting what they would like to see done. There's some hesitance, though, out there and in here about whether that money will actually go to what it's supposed to be going towards. Now, there's a few parks on the list that are supposed to be getting maintained, and we were told that this park bond, no wait, it's not a bond to fix the parks, it's a levy, and that's kind of an interesting thing too. It's supposed to improve parks, which typically bonds are what you do to build, but they want to do the levy because they want to maintain the parks, and that's a great sales pitch. It sounds great. The only problem with that is I think part of the reason why it's not a bond is I think City of Spokane is like at the top of its bond limits. I don't think it can do more bonds. I mean, the street bond was huge. We had the combined sewer overflow projects that occurred. I think the city's at the limit of its bonds, and so it has to be a levy because we've done all these other things, lots of things that we needed to do, of course, and some things that maybe could have been done at a better cost. So this levy, they tell us, is going to cost the average homeowner about, was it $8 a month?
Yes.
So $8 per average household is what he said it would be.
The interesting thing is he said it was fixed, so that wouldn't change.
Well, I think the levy rate would stay the same, but if property values went down, and this is kind of the interesting thing about having a fixed levy rate where basically, if our property values skyrocket, then the rate is going to stay the same, which he said $8, which was like, what, $112 a year per household, which doesn't sound like a lot, right? That's just going to be $112 a year. for 20 years just for the maintenance and fixing up a few parks. It was also adding a park on the north side for the Shiloh Hills neighborhood because there's all those apartments up there and there is more apartments being developed, but there's not really a whole lot of park activity up there for kids to play at, families to go to. The developer wants to keep developing housing up there. The city wants to put in a substantial park. And I can see that. The only problem I see is that sprinkling the money around the city might help get voters to buy into more taxes for a park bond, or excuse me, levy. The only issue is that the money that's being promised for like the Minnehaha neighborhood is that I don't know the taxpayers are going to trust the city to not take those funds and take those dollars and put them somewhere else. We see lots of other things in the city that have been maintained, rebuilt over decades. And the Minnehaha park, the pictures in his presentation show what's unrecognizable, but once was a tennis court. And I only know that it was a tennis court because I asked my mom what that was, and she said, oh, that was an old rundown tennis court back when I was in high school in the 60s. So the park's been ignored since the 60s. That's decades and decades ago. That's a long time ago.
And the park was annexed into the city of Spokane in 1907.
So in 1907, it was annexed, and of course, there's been improvements since then. The baseball diamond that's there, and then of course the tennis courts that were put in probably in the 50s, because my understanding is they were in bad shape in the 60s, but it's totally unrecognizable now and has been for a long time. The play equipment that's there is in a really rough shape. In fact, we had to make the city aware of the Canadian thistle that had taken over the playground equipment. So there's structural problems with our government at the city level. Of course, we can build these stadiums downtown that are highly expensive, and we've done that. We've built stadiums downtown, even though the voters said not to build one of the stadiums downtown. They did it anyways, and I think that the city should be listening to the taxpayer. It would have been nice, actually, if the city council had been listening to the right Spokane perspective over the last decade, because we've talked on this show about the fiscal decisions that have been made over the years. And now they're saying, oh, well, not only do we have a park levy that is going to be going onto the ballot for us to vote on, so we're going to be voting on a tax increase in August. And then we're also possibly going to be seeing, from what we're hearing in the news, another levy, and they're going to call it a public safety and what was it called? A budget stabilization levy. So how big is that going to be? Well, they need to raise $50 million in pretty short order. Well, that sounds like a significant amount of money, doesn't it?
Just a little bit.
The mayor did come out and say that in the media, that there's a structural budget issue. And so I'm going to take some quotes here from an opinion piece a week or so ago from the new mayor, Lisa Brown. Spokane's structural budget deficit requires swift action. Basically, when she ran for mayor, she thought it was going to be $20 or $30 million. She says, our community is facing stark reality of a $50 million structural deficit across all city accounts. We cannot afford to continue relying on quick fixes that will only delay the inevitable. We must reflect on the underlying causes that led us to this point and take swift, decisive action to achieve long-term structural reform. Now, long-term structural reform, we've talked on this show for a decade, me personally, I think about 8 or 9 years, about city spending. And it's interesting that in the news report that was done on the local news station with the mayor talking about this issue, and also in her opinion piece, that she's blaming the union contracts for part of the deficit, that there were pay increases for city staff to try to keep up with inflation, cost of living, that really created the deficit in the budget, which kind of blows my mind, because I think 15, 18 years ago, we didn't have this problem because we had a conservative-leaning city council. But then you get a left-leaning city council that is put into place by the public sector unions that are in the contract negotiations with the city for wages. that's the reason why we're in a deficit. She's going to blame the unions that helped support all of her friends and herself to get into public office. I think that's kind of disingenuous, trying to point back at past mayors that they kept allowing the city budget to climb based upon the cost of personnel, because the public employees unions, of course, are that cost for personnel.
But I think it's kind of their MO, good cop, bad cop, right? That's how they get away with making it somebody else's fault.
Well, and that's true. And of course, we've seen lots of spending on the other side of the political aisle. In fact, I think Mayor Woodward kind of inherited a huge budget. I think there was more spent in the previous mayor from Nadine than any mayor.
From Condon?
Yeah, I think the Condon administration spent more money than, well, and it's, and we can't blame just the mayor either, because this is what we do too many times in politics and government.
It isn't just one person. It's a collective of everyone that makes bad decisions that doesn't look at the whole budget.
Well, no, God made me cringe, Shannon. It's not the collective.
Cringe.
I mean,
it is.
It's the voters.
It isn't just one person.
It's the voters that put a lot of the things into place. A lot of the taxes that we're paying were voter approved, but they also put these things on the ballot, and it's like the voters have a gun to their head. Well, you either are going to pass this or you're not going to have any police and fire, right? You know, it's just like this park bond. Well, you're going to pass it or your parks are just going to fall apart and you guys won't have any bathrooms in the parks. So they always, it's for the kids. You know, the kids aren't going to have any sports, music, everything will go away in public education if you don't pass this for spending more money on the kids, when we've seen nothing but huge, huge growth in the cost of government at all levels, whether it's the public schools or the parks or, you know, any of these municipal departments. The city council just over the last decade have doubled the budget in the city council, whereas the mayor's office under Nadine Woodward stayed flat. Actually, it went down just a tiny bit during her administration. So to blame who the mayor is kind of disingenuous. So I think that it was the city council that moved to the left, and then the mayors that wanted to build legacies for themselves. Often that's the case. Sometimes that's the case with city councils. So the city council approves the spending. The mayor's executive branch, they carry out the will of the people through their elected representatives. But it still is good cop, bad cop. So you can't blame. I mean, she's been a Democrat. She got public employee unions support in her political campaigns for decades. So you can't complain about them being successful in their contracts when they're helping get people elected into public office. So I think that part is just political speak. She'll probably get forgiven by those political donors. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do about the city budget? A $50 million hole. And, you know, we've got a lot of other things to talk about, too, on today's show. I do think it's interesting that we have a new mayor that's talking about fiscal responsibility. But I believe when she was in charge of the Senate at the state level, we had huge tax increases and we didn't see state government spend less money. In fact, it grew significantly. So I think that we're probably going to see a park levy in August, but either next year or
probably November.
Maybe, I don't know that it'd be successful putting it on the ballot in November with all the politicians.
I don't think they're going to have a choice
to get voter approved tax increases
in order for it to be set to take effect by January, so that those bills and those employees can be paid.
See, if they would have been thinking about this before they spent the money on stadiums, what if they were thinking about this before they asked for the sales tax so that we could have electric buses? Maybe they should have thought of this stuff and looked at the trajectory of their spending. Yeah, maybe they should have thought about this before they started putting in $1 million greenways here, there, and everywhere. Oh, maybe they should have thought about this before they started spending money on creating more city departments to deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Maybe they should have thought about...
Maybe we should think about taking a break.
They should have just listened to the Right Spokane Perspective over the last decade. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are only on the air and podcast because you support this program. You, the listeners, we are listener supported. Keep us on the air to keep all these interviews and shows going. Please go to rightspokaneperspective.com. There's a donate button there. Or you can send your donation to Right Spokane Perspective, LLC, P.O. Box 7620-99207. Thanks, and back to the show. And welcome back to this wild and wacky Wednesday episode. You know, maybe the city could fix its budget if they installed wiffle ball courts downtown. Because then people would come downtown and pay taxes and to play wiffle ball. Oh, no, wait, it's pickleball. Pickleball is the popular one now, pickleball. I don't think that's going to cost, you know, we'll just be playing ball. It'll be the bread and the circus of the fall of the Spokane, you know, I mean, the Roman Empire, the bread and circus to distract us while our government is going bankrupt, while creating all sorts of regulations and laws, many laws that no one's following because there's no one to enforce the law. And I have to agree with Mayor Lisa Brown, at least on her statements in here, that city government did use one-time funds oftentimes on things that were actually ongoing expenses.
But how many times did we ask that question? What are you going to do when those funds are done?
Didn't we just...
And they're gone. How are we going to continue funding? It's like unfunded mandates. How are we going to continue funding those mandates after the funding, the federal funding is gone?
Right. Well, and that's, you know, this started happening a long time ago. This city council has changed people, but as soon as the left took over the city council, they started doing all sorts of things like mandates on constructing residential streets. The reason why they can't reconstruct a lot of these residential streets is they put mandates on the construction parameters so that it's now unaffordable to reconstruct their streets because they have to have the federal guidelines is they have to have a sidewalk on one side at least of a residential street. If it's an arterial, it's on both sides. But no, city government like a decade ago decided, well, the left is in control. Nope, you got to have bike lanes. You got to have a sidewalk on both sides of the street and street trees and swales. And they created all these mandates. So then it's unaffordable to maintain or fix things. So then when they do put money towards fixing something, it goes half as far because they created these mandates on their own spending practices. They can't just replace the asphalt. They have to tear it all up, start over. And of course, there are certain things that they did make good decisions on as far as, you know, don't cut into the street after it got repaved and do the plumbing. Do the plumbing when the street's getting torn up and replaced. Fine. But all these other mandates have extra costs and they didn't create an easy pathway for them to say, hey, wait a minute, we got budget problems. We need to start constructing some of these projects and find ways to still have the basics of what we're trying to get done without some of the amenities. It's just like we had former Councilman Mike Allen on, and every single project, they put it into code. Every single project, no matter what they are doing, a certain percentage of it has to go to art. Well, if you don't have the money to fix the streets, then if 5% of it or 10% of it has to go to art, you could do 5 or 10% more if you took that mandate off, right?
Yeah.
And we're at the point with our streets for a very, very long time that we need to get as much bang for our buck as possible, but we don't seem to have a government that's willing to do that now. We do have a mayor that says that she's going to be doing what any household does when facing financial challenges. We will reduce or eliminate non-essentials and optimize what we have. My administration is working closely with city council and meeting monthly to review our budget. I have also directed my cabinet to identify efficiencies and explore opportunities to offset anything deemed unnecessary. So is she actually going to do that? Because if she does, we're going to see some of those city council offices, those positions that they created for their friends on politically triggered ideological areas removed. That's not going to fill the hole. That's only $1 million. Well, every $1 million counts. Don't do another greenway. That's another $1 million. Every million. They're going to have to comb through the budget and solve this problem. I don't think they can go to the voters and just ask for another tax increase. Just like with the park levy. I don't see a park levy passing if the voters are staring down the barrel of a $50 million budget deficit. Now, this is a $50 million budget deficit in the current outlook for city services. Remember that picture we saw in the news this spring of a city, I think it was a recycling truck, maybe it was a garbage truck, that was halfway sunk into a sinkhole in the middle of a street.
Yep.
Those things that happen like that, you could call that an unforeseeable cost. Are they looking at projected unforeseeable costs in that $50 million hole that they think's in the budget? What about maintaining those police cars that they just bought with COVID money, the American Recovery Act money? Are they going to maintain those police cars with the money from the next pandemic, or do they have it worked in to do the oil change with current money that's in the budget? Or is that part of the $50 million gap? Are they going to stop doing oil changes when they're supposed to be done on the cop cars? Are the cops going to be on foot here soon?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it is a good question. And I think that if they want to look at their city budget and be serious, I think it's all political speak. I do not have faith in government making good decisions at this point. We've seen a state government, which our current mayor used to be a part of, and that state government in the last 20 years, like, almost tripled their state budget. I mean, just tax, 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 spend, spend, spend. And they just got together. They spent some more money in the legislative session. They don't ever seem to cut anything. They don't ever seem to remove a mandate. And I'm not talking about, you know, obviously we do talk on this show a lot about mandates on the private sector and the citizens. No, I'm talking about the government needs to remove mandates from itself so that it can do the basic job that it's supposed to do. I mean, it's great to have lots of jobs for the university to do studies and, you know, look things over and, you know, have group projects and everyone can take a flight to some other part of the country to find out how their city is tackling their homeless problem. They need to go and they do. I'm not kidding. There's a ton of money in the budget for government travel expenses. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a big piece of the budget. They're going to have to comb through the whole entire budget and prove where they've made cuts to get voters to be in favor of a tax increase. I don't see voters doing it.
I'm not so sure why those travel budgets are so high now, because we have Zoom. You can Zoom into any meeting or convention.
Well, you just said it. You said the word convention. That's why. They have to have a convention because the cities that they're going to visit for the association of whatever political class, because there's an association for engineers, an association for Washington cities, there's an association for American cities, there's an association of city councils, there's an association, and they all have to have conventions. And why is that? For one, there's special interests that want to drive policy through those nonprofit organizations that, by the way, we all those entities that I just mentioned, we pay association fees as taxpayers to be a membership of those groups. They're going to push their policies onto our politicians or city staffers or city employees, but they have to have the conventions because there's cities all over this country that made their taxpayers pay for convention centers. And if you don't have people visiting them on a continuous basis, then your public facilities district is short more money. And then we have to subsidize that because remember, we have a public facilities district. I wonder if they could look at the public facilities district and see if they're managing public facilities in a way that makes money so we don't have to bail out the public facilities district every year with our tax dollars, right? Which is an interesting thing because they built all of these event centers, right? And they're like, oh, it's good for the economy. It's good for the money. But we're getting told by our mayor, nope, there's not enough money coming into the city for what we're spending. So that's why we have a budget hole. Well, why do we have a budget hole? Didn't we just build two new stadiums downtown? Isn't that going to be enough money coming in?
Wasn't that money already in the budget so that it was all nice and taken care of?
Well, between the podium that got built downtown, right? We've got the Spokane Arena that's city property. We got the podium downtown that the government paid to build. I think the county was also involved with that. We've got the one for soccer, right? Mm-hmm. And that was sold to the taxpayers. Hey, this is all going to be great revenue. It's going to be revenue into your city. Then you have the convention center and the opera house too, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Why is it that we have to bail out the public facilities district? Why are they losing money on a regular basis? Now, it's been a few years.
Because the rest of us can't afford to go.
It's been a few years since I've seen that. But I mean, oh yeah, we built it. And we just talked about it on the show not that long ago that we also have to pay for, what is it, Spokane Theater?
Spokane Theater.
That we have to do $1.5 million for sound deadening.
Oh, yeah.
So that they don't have that to hear.
That's the noise. Civic Theater. The Spokane Civic Theater. Because all the stadiums were built around their building. So now they need sound deadening.
So $1.5 million to sound deadening there. Okay. Do I want a tax increase or sound deadening at the Civic Theater? I mean, this is what we have to start thinking about as citizens. Our government is not thinking ahead. There was just a letter to the editor a week ago where a person wanted to actually go down to one of these event centers and enjoy watching, I think it was her son or grandson, do a sport, but all the parking facilities required an app on her phone. Well, she didn't have a phone that has an app. What about that for people that don't have a phone with an app? So she ended up having to park a couple blocks away, but she didn't think there would be room for parking anyhow, because that's another problem we've now created. There's not enough parking downtown, like the citizens told government before they spent, I don't know, $100 million on the infrastructure around and the structures that were supposed to be a big boon. They were supposed to be good for our economy, and it was going to add to the budget without adding taxes. But here we are paying the taxes, big hole in the budget, and they never seem to find a way to cut. Now, the new mayor, they're going to be combing through there, and I'm going to quote the mayor again. We should hold her at her word, because she is the one that wrote the guest opinion in the local spokesman review, and she says, we will do this by doing what any household does when facing financial challenges. We'll see if she actually does it. I'm not going to hold my breath. All I've seen is the raising of taxes. And every time we've seen this at the city level, what they've threatened to cut isn't sound deadening at the Civic Theater. They're not going to cut spending more on green zones or greenways. They're not going to cut putting money into their special interest groups. They're not going to cut association fees to all these mostly leftist organizations or associations of Washington. They're not going to cut their personal travel expenses. They're going to threaten to cut police and fire. You wait. That's what they're going to cut. That's what they're going to threaten to cut. That's what they're going to put on the ballot. If you don't do this, we're not fixing your parks and the bathrooms will be locked up. You'll have no parks, no bathrooms. We're going to let the grass die. If you don't vote for this, we're going to cut your police. We're going to cut your fire, because our structural budget problem is basically because of personnel cost. Well, that's not the only problem. There's a lot of problems that have happened over a decade. They can go back and listen to the podcast, Right Spokane Perspective. We've been talking about so many different spending issues that our city government and our state government shouldn't have been doing had they listened and had reason, instead of serving special interests, instead of just doing what was easy. Because it's easy to just threaten the voters and say, well, we're just going to cut your police and fire. What's hard is going to your political friends and saying, you know what, those extra positions that we created so that you had a job, so that we could have meetings, so that we could travel and go to these DEI events and go to another convention, we got to cancel that. That's the hard thing to do. The easy thing to do is to threaten the voters and say, we're cutting the basic fundamental role of government because we're not going to do the job. Then we'll maybe give her a chance. We'll see. That the mayor says they're going to do like every household has to do when facing budgetary challenges. Because today, in the economy we're in, every household is facing those. And the growth in government is much greater than the inflationary cycles that we've had over the last decade or two. So if the government just wants to say, oh, it's inflation. No. The inflationary cost of government is much higher than the inflation we've seen in the last couple of decades when the inflation of government started to occur. All that being said, we're out of time. It's been a wild Wednesday, maybe a little bit too wild of a Wednesday, but it's a city that we live in. And even if you don't live in the city, you live in the outer lying areas around the city of Spokane. It's going to cost you too, because when you have cut in law enforcement, when you have cuts in road maintenance, everybody in the area comes through the city, so it's going to affect their damage to their vehicles. And are they going to want to come downtown if there's no law enforcement, when their cars get broken into? Because we're going to be talking about some of that tomorrow. The crime rates in Washington State are through the roof. So I guess it could be a wild Thursday episode. All that being said, we'll be with you folks again then.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.